Blog Talk Radio.
Man, we had Charlie, Trippy, and Gino Marquette. If you're searching for a champion, they're your best bet. Which I could quarterback, like Donnie Lou Jack, or even Sid Luckman, as a matter of fact. Do you remember Red Brains, the galloping ghost? He could do a 9-5 running coast to coast. You had Norm Van Brocklin, a real great player, so swift with his moves that he could be mayor. Y.A. Diddle, Allie Madison, hey, I remember all those guys from back in the day.
Hey. Welcome to CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show. I'm your host, Clausell Mathis, and this is a show where we give raw, unedited, unscripted, objective analysis on college and professional football. I got my panel here. I got Tex. What's up, Tex?
What's going on, buddy? Let's go.
Ready to get into it, huh?
Yeah, let's talk.
I got live from California, Sacramento, California. Mike, Cali Mike, what's going on?
How's everybody doing? Ready to get this show on the crack of the day. Let's do it.
All right. And last but not least, from Chicago, Illinois, I got Chi-Town Mike. What's going on?
Not much, man. Been waiting all day for this, getting ready, you know, talk some good old football, you know. Be back with the boys, you know, like we always do.
All right. And again, we give raw, unedited, unscripted, objective analysis on college and professional football. And if you want to call in and make an opinion, you can call in. The call-in number is 347-237-5539, CMT Firestorm. So we got a lot to talk about. Let's get into it. Now, this past week has been a lot going on in college and professional football. We're going to get on college first. Now, specifically with college, a real big thing that's going on is everybody saw the game. Clemson and Florida State University, not LSU, FSU, Florida State and Clemson. So the game was back and forth until like the late third, fourth quarter where Florida State sort of pulled away the game. And a lot of people are like, FSU is back now. So do you think this past game shows that Florida State is back, you know, to being the old Florida State of the 90s and early 2000s? I'm going to start with you, Tex.
You saw the game. You saw how they looked defensively. You know, they looked like they hit back in the 90s, you know, the early to the late 90s, early 2000s. I mean, they're flying around the ball. They're big. They're physical. They're hitting. The defensive line carries 11 or 12 guys that they can just run in and out. You know, back then, the staple was the D-line. It just didn't matter who was in there. They were just running with it. They on offense are just explosive. The quarterback is pretty good. He's showing up. Just playmakers in the backfield. At wide receiver, it's just speed everywhere, man. They just kind of a throwback. They kind of remind me a little bit of that 1999 team that won the BCS title. Not saying that they're exactly that kind of team. Wait a second. Not saying that they're exactly that kind of team, but defensively, they might be.
Well, I mean, I would think that the defense, I never really thought that 1999 Florida State defense was really that great. I can't really think of any one standout person from that 1999 championship defense. I can't really think of one guy.
Corey Simon, Richard Seymour, Rosen Seymour, Jamal Reynolds. They had a bunch of guys.
Richard Seymour didn't play for Florida State. Richard Seymour played
No. I meant Roland Seymour.
Roland Seymour, okay. I mean, I kind of like that 1999 offense better than I like the Florida State offense now, but the defense, I like this year's defense compared to that 1999 Florida State defense. I think the better defenses of Florida State were even before 1999, particularly that 1993 defense. That championship defense was a pretty good defense. But I think we really can't tell. Well, I don't know. My opinion is I don't think we can really tell that they're back. Only because this is really going to be their only tough. This is going to be their toughest team that they play the whole year. I don't know. Miami's 2-1 now. Maybe their talent can come blossom, but it doesn't really seem to think that we can really find that out until maybe the championship game or whatnot, or if they run the table. What's your opinion on it, Shoutown? What's your opinion?
Well, the score, seeing what they did, Florida State scored 21 points in the third quarter.
Wow.
And then 14 in the fourth, so, it's still undefeated, 4-0 and 2-0 in the conference, 49-37. So, they was down by a touchdown in the first, but they got it going in the second half and made the adjustments. So, hey, man, they're looking pretty good. Well, I just say compared them to, the 99 team, they still got to get, they swag back, being on the.
What's your opinion on it, Shoutown? Cali Mike, what's your opinion on it?
FSU, they're putting a good product on the field. Like I say, the first couple of games, I wasn't impressed by the opponents they played. Clemson was a quality opponent. They got a pretty high octane offense. Defense is kind of lacking. That's kind of a lot of ACC ball. But FSU, they put in a good win. Like I say, it was for the most part it was a good game. It wasn't dominant. Like I say, the score kind of got out of hand towards the end of the game. But so I can't too many people are going to go by the score and saying that they're back. But they played a quality team, and they put a W up on the board, So I can appreciate the win, and that they're starting to put a quality product back on the field. It's funny Tex mentioned the 1999 team because I think you're going to hear more about them later. I know for me at least, but like I said, I think that was a great team. I don't know if this team is quite there yet. We got a lot of pieces in place though. This state team is stacked. They should put me something.
Okay.
I thought I should ask too. They did beat a ranked team, so finally, you gotta get them due on that. They finally played a team, on the even playing field where we looked at their schedule. I know we were talking about where they were playing Savannah State and Murray State. So well, they finally played somebody in that conference, and they beat them in double digits, and they were ranked too. So that speaks for itself right there.
We got a caller here. And if anybody else wants to call, 347-237-5539 if you got any opinions on the show. Let's see what 407 has to say.
Hello?
Yes. CMT
Fox. What's going on?
One thing I can say
about Florida State, they showed that it was a better conditioned team, but I still don't think they're as good as what people think. You have to look at Clemson for a second. They struggled with Auburn a little bit this year. Last year they got blown out by West Virginia. A lot of people forget about that bowl game. Like, it didn't happen. The ACC to me is not as good as what people think. Florida State will probably run the gauntlet in the ACC, but when they play somebody real, they'll probably lose. I just don't think Florida State is what people think they are.
Well, let's say this. Let's give a hypothetical. End of the year, Florida State versus Florida.
Florida has a chance to win that game. It's in Tallahassee. That rivalry, everybody knows. It doesn't matter where it's at because it doesn't change now. But both teams have been garbage. But I'm just saying, I think Florida could probably still win that game, man. We don't even know how great Florida can be. they're still climaxing. And they play quality opponents almost every game, so except Kentucky. So, I mean, if you talk about a body of work, I think Florida's played better talent than Florida State right now. They only play Clemson. Really? I mean,
okay,
I don't
so,
know.
Okay,
I'm not
question.
Impressed
can I say,
by Florida
can,
State
can,
right now.
Can I say something? It's funny you mentioned about Auburn, though, but I see Auburn, you know, they gave a battle with LSU. I mean, they almost could have beat LSU. I mean, they only lost by 2 points, and then, of course, they was at home. So, Auburn, I mean,
but,
even though, I mean, I know they didn't have Cam Newton last year, but, I mean, their record, they didn't have a, I mean, they dropped, but it wasn't one of the worst teams in SEC, and I still think it's a team, they've been kind of close, you know, but I would say, I mean, Auburn, they've been making it competitive. You know,
we're going to get to that Auburn game in a minute. But my question is, in general, in regards to Florida State, like, do you think what the caller is basically saying is, I got a question for the caller. Do you think Florida State's a top five team, yes or no?
A top five team? No.
Yeah, top five team.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think that? So what about the panel? Do y'all think that? Let me start with Texas.
They haven't earned it yet.
Certainly they're a top five team.
Mm-hmm. And what about Cali, Mike? Do you think they're a top five team? I'm just curious what the feel of are they a top five team?
Yeah, they're top five. I mean, you got to go by, you know, what they did last year and what they brought back and, you know, how they've been playing. I mean, they haven't, I'll say this, they haven't shown me that they're not a top five team.
Okay.
Clemson and Florida State are both better than what they were last year. Clemson beat Florida State. Florida State just beat Clemson this year. So, to me, FSU is a little bit better than what Clemson was last year. Clemson's a damn good football team. So, I don't understand how Florida State can't be top five. I mean, and I'm not saying that they're all the way back when I was talking about it earlier. I'm saying when I see their athletes, they look like those guys back in 99. Just from a raw athletic standpoint, they have the look. Especially on defense.
I say this though, I agree with Cali Mike. I mean too, like, I mean, they were ranked, you know, coming in preseason, and right now they just, you know, they're not letting up right now. I mean, they like I said, they still undefeated. I mean, they playing their schedule. So right now I think they, like I was saying last year, I think they headed in the right direction with Jimbo Fisher, and then I know they got another recruiting class that's coming in for next year, so I mean, like I said, they're heading in the right direction.
Now, okay,
might win the ACC.
All right, now I want to coin this with this question now. Now it looks like they played their toughest game. It seems like to me, based on the schedule they have in the future, Florida State's with, maybe they play Miami. Miami may be a little bit better than we thought they were because they won a tough road game against Georgia Tech this past we in Atlanta. So it seems like, you know, and they have to go to Miami, I believe, this year. So let's just say hypothetically, do you think Florida State's going to run the table? I want to start with the caller. What do you think?
Do I think Florida State's going to run the table? I just said that, but yeah, but that game against Miami could be better than what people think. I mean, I was at that Georgia Tech-Miami game. And the heart that them boys showed out there was ridiculous. And I was shocked. We thought, you know, they weren't going to do nothing against Georgia Tech. All that running yards they lost against Kansas State, that was just a young team exposed against an experienced Kansas State team that's better than what people gave them credit for. But, I mean, it's a lot of talent on that field at Miami. If they get it together, because that's why they switched the game back to the middle of the season. If they can get it back together, Florida State could get upset, man. If they keep playing, if they play around like they did with Clemson, they could get upset. So they both good conditioned teams, and Miami just showed that. You know what I mean? I mean, they might not be as good as what people think, but they showed up one more games than what people thought they was going to win.
All right. Well, I want to see what the what do you think, Tex? You think they're going to run the table since they've gone through their toughest game? You think they're going to run the table? And then if you don't think they're going to run the table, who could they potentially lose to?
I'm not sure if they're going to run the table. I think the only obstacle So while I am a Miami fan, I think Miami is too young. I don't know if Miami has the best coaching as compared to Florida State. I mean, regardless of where they're playing, the only team I see standing in Florida State's way is Florida. And I still think Florida is trying to get to a certain point as to where Florida State might have reached their pinnacle. So, you know, but with both teams, it's going to be about getting better. But I don't think Florida has reached their ceiling, Florida State might have. I mean, you know, how many would you say Clemson is? Would you say Clemson by the top 18, by top 7-18?
I don't know, man. I really had to think about that. I know they look good, but it's just not right about that. Them being a top 18. I mean, I wouldn't be like surprised. I mean, but there's so many good teams out there right now that put them in the top eight.
If you lose, I mean, you lost to a top five team on the road. You know, I can't sit here and be like, no, they're not a top 10 team because, I mean, they only went to Florida State and they lost. You understand what I'm saying? I still think LSU is the best team in the nation, and I can't penalize them for going.
Oh my God.
Okay. I can't penalize them for going into Auburn, tough road game, and winning the game just by 2 points. It was going to be a tough game.
All
right. I got a question for Tex. So, Tex, you're not sold on Golden as being the head coach of Miami?
No, but that's just a different subject, man. That's another subject for another time.
Yeah, okay, yeah, we want to stay on
topic. I know he was saying coach, but I just want to get his take on that part. So, okay, I got you.
Well, hold up. Before we go to the next topic, I want to know, is there any opinions from Cali Mike and Chi-Town Mike? Y'all got any opinions? The question was, is Florida State going to run the table? And if you don't think they're going to run the table, who could they potentially lose to?
I'm going to keep it quick so we can move on. I'm going to just say don't overlook Virginia Tech.
Yeah, that's how I'm looking at it. They still got Logan Thomas
at quarterback. You know, he's an excellent quarterback. I think they're going to be playing at V Tech too. You know, you can't count them out. So,
all right.
We had this talk last week. I was saying about the schedule. Y'all was saying Miami. I think that Miami game, you know, it's a rivalry. Throughout the records, throughout all that young stuff, it's a rivalry. You know, it's going to be a battle. You know, the state, what recruits is going to go make a decision, might decide to go to Florida State or Miami. So, man, and it's going to be at Miami, so you never know. But also, too, the caller who's on right now was saying about South Florida. I see Florida State play South Florida this week, so you never know, man. South Florida, you know, and they're going to be at South Florida, so you never know, man. I mean, South Florida's been on the radar. I still think they ain't the same team. And I think losing that coach, Levitt, I thought he was a good coach for them. So, but hey, South Florida, and it's a team that's been making a lot of noise over the past several years.
You know what, man? Hey, I got a degree.
I know who's going to win
that game. It ain't going to happen, Joe. I mean, I'm still a student here, and I might even go to the game if I feel like it, but, you know, that ain't happening, Mike. I mean, after they lost to Ball State last week, I don't see it happening, man. They're beating Florida State.
It's a one-quarter game where you go for the first quarter, then you're out of there.
Yep. Hey, 407, I got to put you on hold, though, man. We got to go to the next topic, yo. All right. Now, along with Florida State, there were some people saying that LSU played. And they were having a tough time pulling away from Auburn, and the game sort of went down to the last drive. And the score was, I think it was 12-10. It was at Auburn, tough SEC road game, but the LSU being the number two team in the nation, a lot of people think they should drop out of the top two. And I want to know what your opinion is. Is LSU still a top three team? I want to get what Cali Mike's opinion is first.
I mean, they got to prove that they haven't lost. They went, just what you said, they played a tough road game. You know, people people look for teams to prove a lot of stuff, but yeah, a lot of times I look for them to prove their weaknesses. You know, like you gotta show something else bad besides going to to Auburn, which is a very hostile environment, and winning. You know, just because you didn't out, you know, or whatever everybody expected. You know, so I mean, you know, they got to show me that they're not a top three team, and they haven't done it yet. So yeah, I can still put them in the top three.
I guess they're kind of looking at that of style points to a close game. You know how it beats sometimes. But well, on that, LSU. I agree with Mike. They haven't lost and they was ranked. The only question I was saying is, like we said from the beginning, you know, when we started the show, you know, the first show. I'm just not so. I mean, that quarterback got to show me. That's the only, to me, downfall I have for LSU is the quarterback play. You know, down the stretch, especially. You know, it gets down to the big games, you know, say where they play Alabama. You know, but today, I mean, that's the only weakness I have with LSU. But that's one reason why I can't really say they're the number one team either. But they are definitely.
What I'm saying is.
They're definitely a top five, or not top five, top in the top ten, you know, being a top ten team.
But so Shot Time, like, you wouldn't put them in the top three then, basically?
Based
on what you've seen so far. Based on their resume so far this year, you wouldn't put them as a top three team.
I keep them right in the three, but I wouldn't put them at number one as of yet.
So you would put them over Florida State or Oregon?
I mean, coming in how they did what they did. Oregon, I mean, they balling out too. I mean, they got, you know, good quarterback play and, you know, a team that can score. I mean, that's kind of a, you could say, it can go either way, Oregon 2, LSU 3, or whatever. Like I said, the only the only thing I just have concern with LSU is just the quarterback, you know, the quarterback play, which to me, that cost them dearly in the BCS championship last year.
All right, so, okay. Well, what's your take on this text? I already got to know what you're going to say.
Yeah, you know what I'm going to say, man. They're the best team in the nation, man. I'll take their combination. I will take their combination of defense and what they got in that backfield against anybody in the nation, man. That includes Florida State, Alabama, anybody else, man.
So, okay, this is what I'm trying to get. I'm going to exclude Alabama from the equation right now. What is it that they have that Florida State they got? What is it they got the upper hand on Florida State? I'm trying to get this. Or I'm going to put Alabama back in. Let me change my mind.
They have the athlete to corral E.J. Manuel. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
If you can stop Manuel from being mobile as LSU can, and you make him into a passer, you can force him into mistakes. LSU, that's what they do. That's what they do on defense. And the offensive line is physical, and they have four running backs that can get it done, man. I'm telling you. That's a winning formula in college football.
So then basically, for Alabama's sake, okay, what can they do with Alabama? Even though Alabama has three offensive linemen that are All-American candidates, what can they do on Alabama that makes them better than Alabama? You say that they're the number one team in the country. I'm just trying to get that. Trying to put that in my mind. I'm not understanding that. Why do you think that?
Alabama, okay. Alabama has a great O-line. Fine. LSU brings back how many starters from last year's D? They actually played all right against them in the regular season, but then they kind of got blown out in the championship game. That was because of the quarterback.
Okay.
You know? I think McCarron's good. He'd be the X factor if they played, but I still got to go with the returning starters on LSU's defense against McCarron. That's minus Trent Richardson, minus a few playmakers. Got to.
Okay.
Now, it's different if you're coming back with Richardson and everything Bama had on defense. Clearly, Alabama will be the better team.
Yeah, too. I'll say this, though. I underestimated that dude McCarron's in that championship. That's kind of why I'm still kind of favoring Alabama, you know, being the best in the SEC right now. Because that McCarron's, man, I mean, he played a heck of a game in that championship against that LSU defense.
Yeah, I just think I think LSU is the third. I still put them in the top three, But I have to put – I don't think they're as good as they were last year. I think so I guess that's, before I get to my point, I want to ask you that question, Tex. Do you think they're as good as they were last year?
LSU?
LSU, yes.
It might be that the only thing they're missing is Tyrann Mathieu. Oh, that's it.
Other than that, but I mean, he was a okay. Other than that, they're essentially the same team.
Basically, pretty much minus what? Tyrann Mathieu. You been watching
LSU?
Hold on, guys. Hey, whoever's phone is beeping, could you put your phone on mute because we can hear that?
Yes, please. Well, it's not me, but whoever it is, please. My thing is, I think they're not as good as they were last year. I think there's something not right there. Maybe it's Tyrann Mathieu. Maybe it's the quarterback play. I think the quarterback play is slightly even worse than it was last year. You know, and that's what I said before the season even started. If this guy's supposed to be so good, Mettenberger, why didn't he play last year? Because he was sitting on the bench last year, and the quarterback play for them was somewhat bad in the big games. In the big games, that is. So I just think that, and I don't think they're going to go through their schedule undefeated. It's just too tough. They got to play Florida in the swamp. They got to play South Carolina. They got to play Alabama. And I think they got to play some other tough games, too. I don't have the schedule right in front of me. But I just think I think they're going to lose a game. I don't think I just can't.
We kind of bump into this every week. These teams, they're very similar teams. You know, I think
what teams?
I'm sorry.
What teams are you talking about?
Alabama and LSU.
Okay.
I like
how
Alabama
similar are they?
Over them, just because what you said, the quarterback play. I don't think Mettenberger's the big savior quarterback that everybody's talking about. But that being said, LSU can very well make a case to be number one. I mean, like I said, they're very similar teams. You know, talking about the championship game last year, it was only one touchdown score. It was five field goals. So to me, that, even though the score was 21-0, that wasn't really a blowout to me. I mean, like I said, it was five field goals. You know, you can take that how you want it. But, you know, like I said,
I look at
– huh?
Yeah, you're right.
You know, I look at
it wasn't a blowout.
Very similar teams. You know, either team could go either way. I mean, I think, you know, like I said, I think it's very early in the season. You know, we got a month left till November 3rd. See who's, you know, who's who. But – LSU, they got Florida and South Carolina between them. So, you know, let's let them, you know, play a couple more games. You know, they really haven't had no opponents besides, you know, Auburn, which was, you know, they played a good game. But, you know, we got to breathe a little bit, you know, for, you know, we try to really say, you know, who's number one. I can say, you know, a team is a top such and such team because I know they have the talent to be there. But, like I say, only reason I still have LSU in the top three is because I can't drop a team. Unless they show, you know, I mean, I can't drop a team unless they show me that they're bad. Or, you know, what's the difference between LSU and, you know, last LSU? Just because of the 12-10 game to Auburn? I mean, did the players change? Is the players any worse? I mean, you know, they got to show me something else besides that, besides playing a good game. And they actually won, you know, so they got to show me something else besides that for me to drop them.
Well, this is all I got to say in regards to LSU. They got Towson University next week, which is going to be pretty much an off week. I'm sorry, sweetie, my wife's listening. That's where she went to school at. But, you know, I just got to be real.
I'm keeping me real.
They got the Florida Gators. They got the South Carolina. Then they got Texas A&M at Texas A&M now. You know that's a tough place to play. So, and then they got the off week to Alabama. I just don't see them just skating through that part. I don't see them even being undefeated before they even get to Alabama. That's just my opinion, but we'll see what happens. Let's go to the caller here and see what they have to say. 407. 407.
MP5. Yeah. I'm here.
Yeah.
All right. LSU, I mean, you're going to have tough games. Everybody knows that tough games.
I believe that you're right about something just doesn't seem right about the team. I mean, there's a lot of championship teams that have tough games, but I don't think they should be in the top three right now. Maybe top five, but not the top three. I mean, they have to, and when they lose, because they are going to lose to Florida or probably South Carolina, they're not going to make it out of that continent. Then we'll just say, hey, you know, they're not as good as we thought they were. I don't think they're that good. There's better teams out there, Kansas State, West Virginia. I don't even think Georgia's that good, but
That's just me, but I just think there's better teams than LSU out there right now. That's just my personal opinion. I don't think they should be in the number three spot or number two spot, whatever it is. I don't think they should be there.
All right. Well, I mean, I just think even if they beat Florida, my thing is even if they beat Florida in 2 weeks, they have to play South Carolina right after that. You know, I mean, that's not they got to go to Texas A&M. It's like I don't see them going undefeated. It's just I don't think it's their year. I just think maybe next year could be a little bit better for them. But then they have to go to Alabama, so I don't know. I mean, they're kind of in a tough spot right now. But we'll see what happens. We're gonna go to the next topic here. I'm gonna put you back on hold 407. All right. So now the top 10 has came out now. AP top 10. A lot of interesting teams are there. What team do you think is on there that should not even be in the AP top 10 right now? We'll start with you, Tex.
I didn't even haven't taken a look at the AP top 10. What's going on?
Well, let me pull it up for you right now. I'm sorry.
I got it coming up right now.
Okay.
I know, huh?
I'm sorry.
I would say, goodness, Notre Dame. Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
That's it. Notre Dame.
But
really, Notre Dame's better than Florida. They're better than U.S. Come on. They're better than Florida, USC. I wouldn't even take them over OU or Clemson. Wouldn't take them over Louisville.
Okay, what's your opinion on that, Callie Mike? What's your take on that?
I actually got to go different. I got to go with West Virginia. As much as I want to say Notre Dame, they have B2 ranked teams. West Virginia has played all three, you know, pretty much cupcake schools. They put up a lot of points, but, they also had a lot of points put back up on them. So, you know, by virtue of that, I just have to say West Virginia, even though I think they're an immensely talented team. And, you know, probably will be maybe in the top five by the end of the year. But, you know, I gotta say that right now it seems like out of all those teams, they're one less deserving.
Well, I mean, when you say Notre Dame, so, okay, here's their schedule that's coming up. They play Miami next in Soldier Field in Chicago. Then they play Stanford. You know, Stanford's a pretty good team, top 10 right now, I believe. And then they play BYU. I don't think you have respect for them, Tex. They have Oklahoma, Pittsburgh, Boston College, Wake Forest, and then they got to go to USC. So, I mean,
do you think
they can win 10 games?
I want to say Miami will beat them, but I just, you know, I'm more pessimist about Miami than I am optimist. Just a young team, man. Just really, really young. You know what I'm saying? Showed a lot of character at Georgia Tech, but you know, I still think Miami is a huge question mark. Think they can win based off talent alone. They got more talent than Notre Dame, but I just don't know if these young kids can keep going away from home and show up and perform like they need to perform. They won't. Notre Dame won't beat USC. They won't beat Stanford. They're not a top 10 team. I mean, you know, they're probably the smartest organization in the world, though, to schedule Big Ten teams. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's Mike said they beat a couple of ranked teams. I mean, they're from the Big Ten, weren't they? I can't take that seriously right now. 13-6 versus Michigan. Michigan was probably horrible. You understand what I'm saying? I can't buy Notre Dame as a top 10 team. You understand what I'm saying? Horrible on the back end. When they face some athletes, they're going to get crushed.
So, okay. Shot town. What's your opinion? What do you think?
lost. Yeah, I guess the sack is kind of getting. I'm still there. I lost. You hear me?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here. Well, you talking about the AP Top 25 or the USA poll? I'm looking at both polls. Which one you want me to comment on the top 10?
The AP.
Looking at the AP poll, I mean, they're undefeated. You know, I'm going to go with Tex on that with Notre Dame because I think I see a couple teams in the AP poll you can put over Notre Dame. I mean, you can put Florida over Notre Dame out of the SEC, look in the conference area with Alabama and LSU and South Carolina. And then also you can put you know, USC, I mean, they lost to Stanford by that, but I guess they're looking at undefeated record. I mean, I'll put USC over Notre Dame because we all know USC is better than Notre Dame. And Texas, I mean, they're still undefeated. You know, why they're not over you know, Notre Dame, you know. So, yeah, Notre Dame's team shouldn't be in the top 10 in the AP poll. They're not in the top 10 in the USA poll. And they're ranked 11, so they got Texas and Stanford over Notre Dame. So, which, I mean, I can't dispute on that.
Well, I got a different twist on it. I mean, I think maybe Kelly might be going somewhere with West Virginia. But I think the team that is going to get pushed out. Well, okay, I don't know. It's going to be between Stanford and Notre Dame. I think Stanford's a pretty good team, or maybe even Kansas State. To be honest with you, I really haven't watched them play a whole game, but just looking at them play doesn't really look. They don't seem to me as a top 10 team. I don't know. What's your opinion on that? As far as Kansas State, do you think they would deserve to be in the top 10? Tex, do you think that?
Borderline top 10 team, but Kansas State is really good, though. Kansas State is a bit underrated. Supremely coached team, I mean, solid fundamentally, very, very disciplined. Kind of like Virginia Tech. I know Virginia Tech had the gap a few weeks ago, but, you know, just the culture of the squad is Kansas State. They run neck and neck with Vitek. I think K-State is good. I don't think they're explosive enough to I don't think they're as explosive as how Vitek can be at times or as athletic as the other teams that are above them in the top five, but Kansas State is a solid football team. Yeah, they're one of those teams where, you know, kind of like you remember OU Florida State back in 2000, where OU, solid football team, Florida State, better athletically. But when you looked at OU, just well-coached football team, disciplined, a bit hard-nosed, really, really physical, that's Kansas State right there.
Also, you got to give K-State they do. They did beat Oklahoma, which Oklahoma was ranked, you know, seeing on some polls, they was ranking the top five or not. They wasn't top five, top ten, so they was up there and they beat them. So,
on the road, they did beat them on the road.
And that speaks a lot, too, to do it on the road, you know, and it went up against a Heisman, you know, guy who a lot of people might be a finalist in Landry Jones, so I don't, you know, have no problem with that. And also, too, I mean you got to have somebody in the Big 12, too, again. I mean, you have, you know, K-State ranking the top 10 in the poll, being number 7, so, yeah, what's wrong with West Virginia not being up there? They're in the same conference, so you got to have a couple teams. You know, that conference, they both undefeated. So I don't have a problem with West Virginia being ranked up there, which I think they're
a
solid ball club.
I didn't have a problem with them being ranked, but like I said, I got to go by who they played. You know, I mean, there's many teams that are undefeated right now, but, you know, like I say, look at Kansas State. They put it on Oklahoma just now, and they made Miami look bad. You know, they put, this isn't a bad Miami team, you know, but they made them. You know, they put 52 on them cats. That's, you know. That's wowzers, you know. But like I say, I look at who the teams have played. I can't just say, okay, this team is this team and this team is good. You know, I gotta look at who they played. West Virginia, not to say they won't by the end of the season, they might be a top five team. But, you know, as of right now, they haven't played enough teams to show. You know, just like how before, you know, this week, FSU hadn't played the teams to show me how good they were. you know, I got to go by who these teams play, not just, you know, what I think or what, you know, what I make up in my head, you know.
I mean, that's a good point. I guess, too, to me, when I first, with all these polls, you know, we all know with the BCS mess back in the days when we was at FAMU, I always, you know, how they did the poll and the structure, I think they always go by strength of the conference. And I guess I'm being a little biased to it right now. I guess I'm kind of looking into some of the teams and being on the field at their conference, you know, seeing the SEC, you know, they got, you know, three teams up there ranked. You know, that conference, of course, is strong. And then looking at the Big 12, you know, having, you know, I'm looking at the AP poll, having seen West Virginia, and you have K-State, you know, up there, jumped the rank up there. So, I mean, and Oklahoma's ranked up there in the poll, and they got knocked out because K-State got them. So, I guess I'm just kind of looking at the, you know, the strength of the conference right now.
All right. Well,
good point, though,
Callie. Real quick. Hold on, before you say something, let's see what the caller has to say. 407.
Yeah, I mean, I hear all of y'all right now, but there's two teams that stick out to me that haven't proved anything this year, and y'all kind of overlooking it. It's South Carolina and Georgia. They ain't played nobody. Y'all keep talking about somebody playing somebody. Who have they played? Just look at who they played and tell me if
that's true.
They have proved anything. Just let me know. Do they need to be in the top 10? They got a gauntlet. October 6th, 13th, and 20th. When they make it out of there, then maybe they should be in the top 10 or top 5. But right now, they ain't showed me nothing, man. They played chumps, all chumps. Missouri, I mean, that's all right. But, I mean, we'll see when Georgia plays Tennessee and South Carolina plays Georgia. You know, we'll see how good those teams really are. You know what I mean? But right now, South Carolina and Georgia should not be in the top 10. Notre Dame beat ranked opponents. Yeah, y'all hating on Notre Dame. Yeah, they played Big Ten teams, but it doesn't matter. They still won against ranked, who the public or the voters thought were quality opponents. So right now, South Carolina and Georgia should both not be in the top 10, and that's my opinion. And there's evidence to see it right here on their schedule right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we'll see this Saturday when Georgia and Tennessee
Missouri's somewhat of a respectable
conference they came from. Come on, man. I don't know.
I agree. Come on, yeah. Georgia showed them welcome to the SEC. Georgia did what they were supposed to do.
Who on the phone here right now thinks Notre Dame can beat Georgia or South Carolina right now?
I don't.
There you go. Who does it belong more, Georgia, SC, or Notre Dame? I mean, seriously.
I mean, yeah.
SC, South Carolina?
I mean, Notre Dame, I mean, it's, you know, Notre Dame is like grilled cheese. It's good. Everybody likes it. You know what I'm saying? Now, Georgia, South Carolina might not be great, but they do play a brand of football that's conducive to winning titles, period. I mean, that's more like a steakhouse than grilled cheese. That's all I'm saying.
I feel where you're coming from with that. Yeah, go ahead.
But, Georgia was going into, I mean, for the season, starting the preseason ranking, Georgia was ranked up there in the top five. So they pretty much staying up there because of the preseason ranking, and they haven't lost either.
Preseason rankings are BS, man. I keep saying that.
Everybody knows that.
Okay, Mike, but you're saying that, but based on what you've seen, based on what you've seen out of all the teams, do you think Georgia deserves to be in the top 10?
I mean, I think they, you know what I'm saying, should stay right there. I agree with the call. They haven't played nobody, but they're going to get a test this coming Saturday against Tennessee. But, I mean, they was.
Do you think that was really going to be a test?
I mean, it's a SEC battle, and of course, there's a little rivalry with them two. So, you know, we'll see, you know, what happens in Tennessee. I mean, they've been playing some good ball, so we'll really see how good really Georgia is. But based on, since you know, you said that the preseason, I mean, Callie Mike said the preseason poll was BS, but hey, I mean, it's ranked up there, so we'll see if they make that ranking of being ranked, you know, saying for the preseason poll. We'll see the test this coming Saturday.
I expect Georgia to win this game by 10. I think Florida killed the heart of Tennessee. I think Tennessee's season is kind of shot right now. But that's just me.
You might be
but
right.
But I think with to get back on the Notre Dame thing, I just think maybe a lot of people in the media, you know, the anti-SEC people, want to see a team like Notre Dame, like, because they feel like, you know, his history behind Notre Dame, the TV contract they got, everything like that. But I just think they want to see Notre Dame relevant. They want them to see, you know, in the top 10, because it just makes college, they feel like it makes college football better. Like, sort of like when the Yankees are good or when the Cowboys are good in regards to the NFL, it just makes the league better because they have a large fan base, Notre Dame.
I kind of think that the exact opposite, though. I think people are kind of tired of that. I mean, even the media is speaking out against Notre Dame now about their overratedness. I mean, even you got former Notre Dame players, and you know, and the radio guys saying that, you know, that they're tired of them being overrated and they won't be rated again, you know, be any good until they get certain type of guys, and you know, and now they're making, you know, making moves and, you know, making different, you know, almost joining the ACC. And you know, I think that was the sentiment for so long, but I think now, you know, people have proven, you know, and Notre Dame has proven that they've been overrated, you know, since Tony Rice was there, you know, and they've been getting beat constantly to show that, and they haven't been putting talent into the league, you know, to prove anything otherwise either. So, I mean,
they were good when Jerome Bettis was there.
They were all right. I mean, they weren't good.
They were good. They were pretty good.
They were good. Right. Who else was there besides Jerome Bettis?
That was it. That's the only one I can remember. And Aaron Berry.
Exactly.
What's the guy that
I mean, that's not a good team, man. That's like, man, they had, you know, they had some okay seasons. I mean, they were okay when Brady Quinn was the quarterback, but. You know, look what he was doing some every year. You know, and then, you know, I mean, they, you know, it's, like I said, people are tired of that Notre Dame stuff. It's kind of been wearing off lately, especially, you know, with the explosion of all these other schools, you know, showing that they got talent too. You know, the Clemsons and the Oregons and the, you know, other people's schools. You know, they want to get out there and play too. So you know, everybody's not going to bow down to Notre Dame like they used to. Only thing I can give Notre Dame is that they schedule. You know, they schedule good teams. You know, like Tech said, they were smart to schedule these Big Ten teams early in the season so they can get, you know, that you want to build up the confidence of your team, get your team some early season wins, especially, you know, when you're coming off a period of you know, not being so good. So, you know, like I said, to me, you know, they schedule it. They have a tough schedule, but they scheduled it right, you know, to where they exposed a couple of different, you know, a couple of different teams. You know, so, like I said, they got a tough game scheduled, so, like I said, so I look at week 8 before I can really start ranking, you know, like just like the BCS before I can really start ranking a lot of these games.
And the BCS is coming pretty soon, within maybe in the BCS coming probably within a couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks.
Hey.
All right, let me go to the, hold up, before y'all say something, let me go to the next call here. I'm going to put you on hold, 407. It's 850.
All right, Claus L. I'm just getting in, so. Just got into your conversation about, like, you said something about the Tennessee-Georgia game and I guess Notre Dame in general. Is that what's going on?
Yeah. Like, the question was who doesn't deserve to be in the top 10? I think the majority of us stated that Notre Dame shouldn't be in there.
Well, I would agree with that. I think that's something that is pretty much either a networking ploy of some sort, whatever it is, because if you really think about at least what happened in their last game against Michigan. I mean, I didn't see most of it, but, I mean, Denard Robinson pretty much gave them about 500 turnovers in that game, and they only scored 13 points. You would think that once you get that many turnovers, you would be able to take advantage of that, but they really didn't. I mean, they only had, like, what was it, 10 points in the first half and then 3 points in the second half? And, I mean, Michigan, if they scored, like, another touchdown, they could have pretty much won that game if Denard Robinson didn't have all those problems. So, I mean, the consensus is Notre Dame right now at this spot is overrated. Only problem is that I think they, I don't know what their schedule is, but they probably got a couple more wins before they run into a loss on their schedule for this season.
What couple wins is that?
I don't have it in front of me, but.
I'll tell you their schedule right now. This is who they got next. They got Miami Hurricanes in 2 weeks. They got an off week this week. They got Miami, and then they have Stanford. Stanford, they got Stanford at home, BYU at home, Oklahoma at Oklahoma.
Mm.
So do you think they can go through that stretch of games 3-1, 1-3, 0-4, 2-2? What do you think?
I would pick 2-2, but the schedule has them, like, favorable because they have Stanford at home. I mean, they have Miami and Chicago. So it's pretty much a favorable home schedule. I mean, the toughest out of all of those is the game at Oklahoma. So you wouldn't be surprised if they go 3-1 in those next four games. And if they go 3-1, it's very likely that they could challenge to get one of those BCS spots because they'd only have one loss, and then they still got to play USC. So if they go 3-1, they highly have a chance to get a BCS first.
Well, and this is the thing here. This is the interesting dynamic here because I don't know the BCS rankings. I don't have it on top of my head. Any of them know when they exactly release the BCS standings? Because let's say they beat Miami, they beat Stanford, who will be a top 10 team, and then they beat BYU. I mean, before they get to that Oklahoma game, they could be in the top 7 teams in the country. I don't know if y'all realize that or not. They could be.
Like I say, their schedule is set up. Notre Dame's schedule is set up every year to where if they win their schedule out, or even maybe if they lose one game, they go to the national championship. That's why they stay independent. That's why they set up their schedules like that. That's the reason why they stay independent. Not because of the network or this and that, because they want to play for national titles and they want to get back there and they want to create a schedule to where they can beat certain teams to get back into the national title game. That's the real reason they do that. Everybody can say money, but Notre Dame is never going to run out of money. They're backed by the Catholic Church. That's billions off bat. So, you don't have to worry about money. We can say that, but that sounds good. But they're set up, that's why they stay independent. So, yes, it's very likely. I said that now their next four games are tough. They might not win any of those games. BYU puts out, they put out good players and they put out good teams almost every year. So, to me, that game's not, that's not a gimme. They could very well go 0-4. But if they run their schedule, I mean, which is unlikely, but, you can't say they're overrated no more. I mean, that's why they set up the schedule like that. Teams got to prove them. Like I say, teams got to prove them wrong. Notre Dame hasn't lost yet, so I can't take nothing from them. I haven't seen them get beat.
I was looking at that. I forgot too. Shoot, BYU put up a battle with Boise State. They almost beat Boise State. But I think, I agree with Cali Mike. I mean, that stretch, Notre Dame could go 0-4. Miami, Oklahoma, BYU, and Stanford.
All right. Real quick, I kind of want to go. Okay, we got to move on. I got like two, maybe three topics left in like maybe 10 minutes. And I kind of want to go through a few of them pretty quick, and then we'll take one or two more calls. For college football, that is. Now, last week I had made a statement in regards to the way Alabama's looking right now. They haven't looked this good. I haven't seen a team look this good since the 2001 Miami Hurricanes, which kind of started as sort of an eruption there. I said Alabama right now, the way they're playing right now, is the closest thing we've seen to the 2001 Miami Hurricanes.
I want to say something real quick for the caller. Originally, Clausel wanted to say what he told us in private was that Alabama was just as good as 2001 Miami. Arguing down.
No, I didn't. I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
For not to actually say that on the air. But that,
no, that's not true. That's not true. I said that the closest thing since the 2001 Miami, the way they're playing right now, if they went out and they go undefeated, the way they're playing right now, they're the closest thing. Because the 2001 Miami Hurricanes, is the best BCS team.
The way FSU was playing after three games, they were the greatest team of all time.
No. Okay, well, anyway, let's go to the question. The question is,
The average score the is 67-1.
Hold on, let's go to the question here.
All
right. It was the top five BCS teams. Who are the top five BCS teams? Well, let's just go to the top three right now. And you can add two if you want to. But the question is, who are your top three BCS teams since the BCS era began? What teams do you think were the top three? I want to start with Chi-Town Mike. Do you have an answer?
First off, yeah, that 2001 Miami team, yeah, I mean, as good as it comes right there. I think that Miami team, and probably I have to say, you know, a USC team that had to, no, Auburn. The Auburn team that went undefeated, they should have
really
shared a national, they should have shared a national championship. They should have, I think they would have they would have to play USC or any other team. I think they would have beaten that team, and I give
interesting
and I give Pete Carroll one of his teams. The USC
really?
Team,
because I think Auburn was – I really think Auburn was the worst BCS team champion, in my opinion. But anyway.
He's not talking about Cam Newton, Auburn. He's talking about Auburn that didn't get to play in the championship game, if I'm correct.
Yeah, Jason Campbell.
Oh, no. I'm talking about BCS champions. Out of the BCS champions, like who were the best BCS champions out of the BCS
era? Well,
let's
just do it out of all the BCS because two of my teams weren't championship teams, so – I want to pick mine out of all these teams too, which is going to make us all mad.
No, I'm saying the champ, whoever won the championship out of those champions, who were the best teams? Who were the best champions?
Okay, well let me name my list. Like I said, because two of my teams didn't even win the championship. I got 2001 Miami number one. I got 2004 USC number two. I got 1999 FSU number three. I have 2005 USC number four. I got 2002 Miami number five.
2005, they beat Oklahoma, or did they lose to Texas?
They lost to Texas in 2002.
Oh, but you
Miami
would still put them over.
And that's my honest, I'm telling, without being biased, that's my honest opinion, because those teams, they didn't lose anybody from the previous year when they were the top team. So, I got to put them, you know, above other teams that, you know, and plus, like I say, you look at any other championship teams, they all lost one game. To me, that Miami team and that USC team, they all lost one game, too. Their game just happened to be the last game of the season. So, talent-wise and what I've seen them do during the season, I got to put them ahead of the other teams. Like I say, you know, that's my honest opinion.
All right, well, Tex, what you think?
Well, my list is just BCS title winners. And number five, I have 2009 Alabama. Number four is 1999 Florida State. Number three, probably the most underrated BCS team ever, 2008 Florida. Those guys were good. That whole team.
They lost to Ole Miss in the middle of the season.
2008 Florida?
Yeah. They lost to Ole Miss in the swamp. But it's whatever. Remember when Tim Tebow made that little speech?
Yeah, but tell
or whatever.
You,
all right,
Tebow, I was looking at them too, because after Tim Tebow made that speech, them chaps was untouchable. And he was right. Carter, they put in work after he made that speech, being truthful. Yeah. They, like I said, they were going to be in my top ten.
Held
OU, who averaged 43 points a game, to like 14 points. You're a good team. 2004 USC, my number two team, and of course 2001 Miami, 17 first round draft picks off that team alone. Of course, they number one overall.
All right, I'm only going to go three, and I guess I'm thinking 1999 Florida State, but see, I was watching the games that year. They were having tough times beating teams that year. A lot of people don't know that. They were having really close games that year. I'm going to put them there at the top three, and then I'll put USC – 2000. Well, really, they didn't win the championship in 2004 because it was vacated due to Reggie Bush not being there, but I'll just say Reggie Bush
being
there.
That was 2005,
but,
actually, but thanks for making that point.
2014 was Raw, Clausell.
No, they beat Oklahoma 55-19. That's 2004. And but that championship doesn't exist anymore.
Yes, it
but
does.
We'll just take Rupert. I understand what you're saying. We got
Texas.
2004 and then 2001 Miami Hurricanes. But my point is the way Alabama's playing right now, they're playing better than that 2004 USC team. I really think they are.
They are?
So,
man, stop it.
Yes, they are.
It's still early.
I'm going to explain it to you. First of all, before we get to the calls, I know these two calls have something to say about this. We're going to get to you in a second. But the thing is, the way they're beating teams right now, they're beating teams like 31-0, 40-something-0 at halftime. You know, the way they're playing right now, they're playing better than the USC teams back in the day. Like, USC teams, they would blow people out, but, you know, it'd be like 25-0 at halftime. But the way Alabama's playing it, they're playing like 35-0, 40-0 at halftime.
They're
blowing
teams
out.
Anybody,
they played already. They played BCS caliber teams, and they played the lower teams. They blowing them out.
Really?
Who
did Alabama play? Yeah,
who
did Alabama play? Don't name no big team.
They're a BCS conference. Michigan is in a BCS conference.
Based on what? Principle?
Exactly. Yeah. What are we talking about here, man? They beat Kentucky, who stinks. And it beat Arkansas, who stinks. And Florida Atlantic, those aren't BCS.
Oh, Arkansas, who stinks. They went on the road. Hold on, all right. We don't want to go on this again. We don't want to go on this back and forth. They went on the road to Arkansas and beat the 55-0. You're trying to tell me that's not impressive?
Ooh.
On the road, SEC team against Arkansas and beat them 55-0.
The Louisiana Monroe win was more impressive than that.
All right. I got to go to the caller here. Let me go to the caller. 407.
What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on? What's your opinion on this conversation?
Well, my top one is Miami, of course. But my top two, my second one is I would have to go with 2004 USC team. And I'll give it to the 2009 Alabama team. That's my top three. I mean, 99 Florida State, I agree with Clausell. I mean, I follow Florida football real closely. And they did struggle. Miami almost beat them that year. That game didn't turn over to almost to the fourth quarter. But, I mean, as far as Alabama being like the 2001 Miami team, I don't know. It reminds me of when Clausell used to sit quietly and give Hall because Alabama wasn't doing nothing.
His favorite team was Tuskegee or one of them schools.
All he could do is credit other teams' talent. You know, he couldn't talk about Alabama. He was quiet about it. So I knew about it. He would say it. Oh, I like Alabama, but he would be kind of hush. He would always try to pick a team against Miami. You know what I mean? Come on, dude. I mean, you can't hate greatness. But I feel where he's coming from, though.
Hey, Steve, you got to admit, though, the way Alabama's playing this year, let's just be real. Don't that remind you of the 2001 Miami? The way that they're playing right now, they're just blowing
out. How does that remind you of that team? Because they'll name one. How does it remind you of that?
Because the way that they're beating these teams, man, they're blowing them off the brakes, man. They're blowing them off the brakes.
Hey, I can feel where you're coming from, but Arkansas has lost all credibility, so you can't count.
But
that.
Still, to go on the road.
To
go on the road and beat them 55-0 in the SEC, you're trying to tell me that's not impressive?
They stink.
It doesn't matter who. I understand they stink, but to go on the road and beat them 55-0.
They stink.
That's a 2001 Miami.
How many times do I need to keep telling you that? They stink.
All right, Alabama, I feel where he's coming from. Alabama is showing a lot of talent. But
okay,
Nick Saban knows. Let's do this.
Who's Alabama's best wide receiver?
Right now. Hold on. No. We're not. No, because what you're going to do is you're going to compare Andre Johnson's pro career. You can't do that.
I'm going to compare Andre Johnson's pro career.
You can't do that. You're going to compare college career.
Yeah, he was All-American at Miami. As was
2 years in a row.
So,
whatever, man, whatever.
Dude, like I said. As was Brian McKinney, who was, I believe he was the
Hold on. First of all, let me, and another thing, too, before we get to the next caller, first thing, I never said they were better than the 2001 Miami. I just said they're the closest thing.
Out
of the BCS era, 2001 Miami.
You have yet to prove any aspect of that.
Okay.
I'm looking at that Miami schedule, though. I mean, the only close game they really had could have lost was, they went out to Blacksburg and played Virginia Tech. Wasn't Michael Vick playing in that game? I mean, was on that beat.
No,
Michael Vick
wasn't playing.
They beat him 22-24.
Michael Vick wasn't there. Actually, they almost lost to Boston College. They were at the, like, 10-yard line.
Yeah, they lost to Boston College.
They didn't lose to Boston College. They almost lost to Boston College. And Ed Reed took it back and scored. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
And then they came back and beat Syracuse 59-0 the next game. And they beat Washington 65-7 the game after that. The previous game, they beat Temple 38-0.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a dominant team.
I mean,
could have been the Heisman for that, because he pretty much saved their season with that play.
I forgot what
team he did it to, but, you know, that was the play right there.
Does Alabama have anybody as good as Ed Reed on their team?
I don't think so, Clyde.
You talking about college?
Yes, college Ed Reed.
Quit stalling and saying extra words. Just say yes or no.
College Ed Reed.
Robert Lester's an All-American candidate, man. Let's just put it that way.
We got two players
that are a combination of Ed Reed in college. The college version.
Can I say something?
Who is that?
Hold on. Before we go, we got to go to the next caller. We don't have that much time. One last comment, then we got to go to the next caller.
Let me tell you something. Ed Reed was the heart and soul of that defense. That all those years from when he was a freshman starting all the way to – there's not many safeties that started from a freshman and stayed all 4 years and was leading the team in tackles almost. And – he was getting all these picks and taking them for touchdowns. The same thing we see in the NFL was the same Ed Reed we see in college. And a lot of people can't do that, man. That's all I'm saying.
Especially from Alabama.
And what quarterback was doing checkdowns like Ken Dorsey was? Not many. Not many could do any. Could call. They always got to look to the sidelines. This is a sideline offense now. Everybody got to look to the sidelines. Ken Dorsey was doing his own checkdowns and call his own plays out there on the field. So, I mean, can Alabama's quarterback throw 5 picks and still win the game? No, it's not happening. Can nobody be
okay,
like Brian?
All
right. That's all I got to say.
Hold on. Hey, okay, thanks. I got to put you on hold. We're going to have to continue this conversation next week because I have some more questions I really want to ask, but we don't want to waste too much time left. Let me do 850.
All right, just running real quick. Number one BCS is 2001 Miami Hurricanes. You got Ken Dorsey, who's probably one of the most underrated quarterbacks of the 2000s, especially through his record. Number two is 99 Florida State Seminoles. You had Chris Winkie with Peter Wart, Ron Dukins, Snoop Menace, and they could have had Randy Moss in that receiving core, too. Number three is 2004 USC Trojans, and throw them off and just have one more. I get the 2005 Texas Longhorns, one of the best offenses over the season, and they went on the road to Columbus and beat the number two Ohio State Buckeyes that year. And actually, I picked them to beat USC too, so that's why I add them as number four.
All right.
I like that. I like that Texas team. Like I said, I like that Texas team, and, you know, I say this all the time. Vince Young played a phenomenal game, but I wouldn't bet my life on Texas ever beating that USC team again, and I don't think the majority of people in this country would. No, just being honest, that's why I said I say the same thing about 2002 Miami. Think about all the fiascos that started happening at the end of that game that Ohio State won, you know. To me, it was the same team as the two that, you know, like I said, you had the same, that's why I put those teams in my top five, too. Because basically, they were the same teams. They had amazing circumstances happen at the end of games that, you know, cost them the championship, but it was the same talent. Sometimes even, you know, even better.
Right.
Also, I was thinking about that, too. I mean, we just forgot about, too. I should have said their team because they was pretty impressive, too. You know, we all know they didn't get a chance to go to the BCA championship. That 2000 Miami team was pretty good. I mean, we all know they got screwed out of going to the BCS championship because of the BCS. They only lost to Washington by 5 points. They beat Florida State, and Florida State went to the national championship and got beat by Oklahoma. But I ain't going to lie, Oklahoma's defense was pretty good, though. Really good.
All right, well, we're going to have to stop this conversation. We're going to have to continue it partially next week. It was really good. We're going to take like a 1 or 2 minute break, okay? And we're going to get to NFL coverage. CMT Firestorm.
Football. Soul timers, do you remember the names like Bronco Nagurski and Night Train Lane? Bulldog Turner, my man Sam Huff, in the snow and the mud, they were still real tough. Crazy Leg Church, and remember Raymond Berry asked me if they hit hard, and I'll say Berry, Paul, Christian, Buddy, Young Lady Moore. It's them I know, they seem to always score. Ed Sprinkle, defensive end for those years. Gene Big Daddy Liston was the man to fear. You have Steve Van Buren and Otto Graham. Johnny United had the arm of a Superman. We had Charlie Trippi and Gino Marquette. If you're searching for a champion, they're your best bet. With Oscar quarterback like Johnny Lou Jack or even Sid Luffin, as a matter of fact. Do you remember Red Brains, the galloping ghost? He could do a 95 running coast to coast. You had Norm Van Brocklin, a real great player, so swift with his moves that he could be mayor. Y.A. Tittle, Ali Madison, hey, I remember all those guys from back in the day.
It's the sort of thing better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows, weekend warriors toe to toe. Football, football, football.
All right, we back here. CMC Firestorm. If you want to call in, make a comment, 347-237-5539. CMC Firestorm. We're going to our NFL coverage here. A lot of stuff's been going on in professional football. Very, very controversial games, I should say. We're going to start with the first controversial game, which was Green Bay versus Seattle on Monday night. It had a lot of people on edge. It took a lot of the news topics today. Even into politics, a lot of people were talking about this game. What do you make of that controversial call at the end of the game? I'm going to start with Cali Mike. What you think?
To me, I mean, what call are we talking about? Are we talking about the pass interference?
We're talking about the call. Well, when they scored the touchdown, Golden Tate, he scored the he caught the ball or he didn't catch the ball. Did the Green Bay defender take the ball from him or did Golden Tate catch the ball? Essentially, the ref said that he caught the ball, had full possession of the ball. But the video sort of indicates that the Packers had took the ball away from Golden Tate. The Packer defender took the ball away from Golden Tate. So I just wonder, do you think he got it right, or do you think it was wrong?
I'm going to say this, and it's going to be the most unpopular thing that we've been hearing all weekend. Besides the pass interference call, which is a missed call, which happens all the time, to me there was no controversy. It was a touchdown. If everybody wants to put it on the refs, that's fine. But by the rule book, that was a touchdown for Golden Tate. To me, that's all there is to it. I've been hearing all this stuff about replacement refs blowing the call, this and that. You know, there was two. You know, Green Bay players is mad. You know, like I say, like I told Tex the other day. The replacement refs didn't cause Chris Clemens to get 4 sacks in the first half and the cause, you know, Aaron Rodgers to be sacked 8 times. So we can't, you know, we can't throw everything on the refs. You know, like I said, that call by the rule book was a correct call. And, you know, you can't, I mean, everybody wants to, well, who had more possession? How do you determine who had more possession? You have cats who can make catches on their fingertips, and that's considered possession. So, I mean, how do you, you know, who can say who had more, who, you know, just if my hands are on the ball, just like a jump ball in the NBA. You don't, if two players' hands is on the ball, it's a jump ball. You don't know whose possession it is. You know, so all that, he had more of the ball and, you know, this and that. Like I say, first, you know, like I told you, know, first of all, you know, anybody play football, any DB knows you swat the ball down. You don't try to go for the pick. You know, especially at the end of the game, Hail Mary situations, that's what they tell everybody, swat the ball down. They tell the defensive lineman that, swat the ball down. Anybody knows that. When you try to go for the pick, crazy stuff can happen, and that's what happened. I looked at the play. I looked at the slow-mo. Like I said, they both had their arms on it. They both were touching the ball. To me, Golden, and to me, really, if everybody wants to go by, you know, who had possession, Golden Tate came down before the Green Bay receiver, before old boy for Green Bay. So, I mean, what's really possession? I thought, you know, he can caught the ball, but that doesn't mean if he would have caught it out of bounds, you know. To me, like I said, Golden Tate hit the ground first. So, isn't that what possession is? Don't you have to be on the ground to complete the play? But, you know, like I say, everybody wants to put on the refs and, you know, go all wild and this and that. I mean, that's good for the media, and you get a lot of sound bites from SportsCenter. But, you know, by the letter of the law, in my opinion, it was a good play. And only one other person that I've heard has said this too. How many other times have we seen that in NFL history? Did that kind of situation ever happen? So it was going to be controversial no matter what, no matter who was calling it, you know, no matter replacing refs or regular refs were there. So, you know, like I said, to me, you know, it was a good play, touchdown.
All right, well, Tex, what you think? Tex, you there? Tex.
I look like Tex, man. Yeah. Disconnect.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm here. I'm sorry about that. No, I'm just going by what I saw. You know, the rule is a rule, whatever. MB Jennings had the ball cradled. Tate never had two clear hands on the ball at any time. You're in possession. When they hit the ground, MB Jennings has the ball cradled, has clear possession. This is not me talking. These are the referees talking, the actual referees or guys that used to ref that talked about what they would have done about the situation, saying that we would have gotten together, we would have had that call reversed. Because Jennings had clear possession of the ball. I mean, it was clear as day. And, Mike, the refs didn't help Chris Clemens get 4 sacks and all of that. But first you start off with the horrible roughing the passer call on Eric Walden on the interception. I mean, that was awful. I mean, it's like where can you hit the quarterback? That was a horrible call. That negated the INT. That would have been the game right there. Then you had the pass interference call where, if anything, the player should have just been allowed to play, but Sidney Rice had his hands all up on Sam Shields. And then on the final play, you had clipping twice. You had two of the D linemen being clipped. One was being – the linebacker was being held, missed those calls. You missed the call, the push in the back by Golden Tate on Sam Shields, which was absolutely blatant. And, again, you had MB Jennings cradling the ball, having clear possession. You had the referee running up late. Why wasn't he back there to get a better view anyway? You had him coming up late, not in position where he's supposed to be to make the proper call. You know, this is it was ridiculous. You had him running up after the fact, calling a touchdown. That's ridiculous.
That man was a line judge. He's supposed to be on the line. There were different refs over there. He wasn't the only one.
There's the back judge, but still, understand the situation. Understand where you're supposed to be. Those are my thoughts, but these are what actual referees are saying. Be in position to make the call. The line judge is there. Yeah, he's there. You understand what I'm saying? But I mean, not the line judge, but the back judge. The line judge needs to be there to see the angle that to get that angle that the back judge can't get and take care of that. He runs up after. I mean, basically after the play is over, here he comes. Am I not right? I mean, he was late, you know. And, I mean, like I said, I get the rule, but M.D. Jennings had the ball cradled. And Pete Carroll, I mean, you know, the refs for the second time, I mean, they basically saved him. They kind of helped him out against Arizona. He didn't have a timeout. They gave him a timeout. Refs just saved him again, you know. I mean, and then they come back and they're talking about, yeah, it was a great Pete, stop it. Golden Tate, stop. I knew Golden Tate talking about, I knew I had the ball. It was clear. I mean, there was never any doubt. Stop it. You know, keep it real.
Okay, look, why don't we all do this? Why don't we all look at this thing on YouTube? I'm looking at it right now, and I see Jennings come down on top of Tate, which, like I say, still is not down. He comes down on top of the man. He's still technically not even down yet.
But
I'm looking at it right now.
Right? The ball through his chest, right?
It don't matter. But like I'm saying, what is possession though? You could catch the ball and you could have it cradled or whatever and go out of bounds and that's not a catch, right? I'm saying possession is who has the ball and comes down with the ball, right?
Man, Tate never had clearly two hands on that ball at any time until they rolled over after that official came up. Running about five minutes late on the call.
When they rolled over, that's when he lost possession.
Yeah,
but
that's what I was thinking.
They were down. How can you? It was horrible.
There wasn't a camera. I mean, if there was a camera on the other side, they clearly could have seen it. Maybe my view could be different. But my view is I see two players standing in front of the ball. I see Tate come down. His butt touches the ground. That's down in the NFL. I see Jennings come down on top of him and then roll over.
But the ball was always in Jennings. I mean, from the high point, Jennings had the ball though, and when he was coming down, the ball was in his chest. Golden Tate.
Okay, but he's not down though.
Well, I don't know. Let me put. I know y'all arguing about this. Let me put a little spin on this, from a referee's perspective, because a lot of people are, you know, saying we need the new refs back and things like that. But do you think, even if we had the new refs there, do you think this would have been a controversial anyway? I mean, would they have messed this up either, too, the new refs?
It would have been an interception.
It would have been highly controversial.
No doubt.
It would have been highly controversial either way. Like I said, when has this ever happened in the history of football? Name me one other time you've seen that happen.
I can't remember.
Yes, because it hasn't. It would have been highly controversial either way. But like I said, since it's replacement refs, everybody wants to go bad. Like I said, they make bad calls. I'm excusing what they've done. But like I said, that right there, all they can do is go by the rules.
So, okay.
I mean, I'm looking at it right now on my computer.
So we found out that the commissioner had the authority to reverse the decision. Do you think he should have done that? And if he did
that's silly. Come on now. That's like I said, and the other thing, okay, that's the other thing I wanted to say. Everybody wants to put on a replacement ref. What about the officials who reviewed it? Those are NFL officials. They could have overruled the play right then and there. Obviously, they saw the same thing the ref's saying. Everybody
well, they said it wasn't
that,
reviewable.
Right? The ref, huh?
They said the play wasn't reviewable, I thought.
No, they went up to the booth and reviewed that play. They reviewed that. They went to the booth and reviewed it.
Okay, and then they destroyed the horrible
call. It was a horrible call, and that's why they're negotiating right now to get these real refs back on the field because they know they messed up.
Angle when I saw
okay, but,
I
but this is what I'm saying though, and this can't be disputed. The people that review the plays aren't referees; those are NFL officials, right? They're up in a booth. So why didn't they overturn the call?
guess in their opinion, they had more evidence. They needed more evidence, you know what I'm saying, to make that decision.
So it wasn't as clear as everybody says then, in other words, right?
Well, hold on. We don't know what the first decision was. Like, we don't know the first, like, they reviewed it, but what was the first official decision, interception or
the
touchdown?
The first ruling by the referee on the field was touchdown.
Was touchdown. Okay, and then it was
back judge didn't put his hands up. Back judge
exactly,
didn't put his hands
what
up.
What was the first official ruling? Yeah, because you had one guy that was touchback, the other guy
was ruled a touchdown on the field.
It was ruled a touchdown by the line judge, but the back judge didn't make a call. He was the first one over there. He didn't even make a call. He was waiting.
No, he did. He put his hands up for touchback.
No, he didn't. No, not at first. No, he didn't.
For touchback.
No,
he didn't.
I saw that. No. Look at the video, Mike. He put his hands up for touchback. Look at the video again. The back judge put his hands up for touchback. Hold on. I want to hear what a caller has to say here. Let me go to 850. Hold on. Are you there, 850?
Yeah, I'm in.
Okay.
On the actual play itself, I say it was an interception, clearly. Think about it, this Golden Tate didn't really have any type of possession of the ball from when it was up in the air to when it got on the ground. Only time when they really saw that he had any type of possession was when everybody was down. And the thing is, the line judge was out of position to make that call. It's crazy that the back judge had to come from the other side of the goalpost to run in there and to try to make a judgment. And the thing about it is, those two referees looked at each other. I don't know if they said anything, but they looked at each other. And they should have said
right
then and there.
Nobody's looking at each other. The Lion judges, I'm looking, okay, go to YouTube, go to Packers versus at Seattle. First call in NFL history. That's the title.
The thing about it is,
we saw
this thing run through NFL Live, Sports Center, NFL 32, NFL Primetime so many times. They
that's being ran by with influence from ESPN and influence from the Sports Center cast going, oh, this call.
But the thing about it is, they showed that those two refs were looking, they were looking right at each other. And the thing about it is that if you have any type of, like, doubt, you should at least talk about it. Don't even look. Just say, look, we don't know what it is, so you have one that has a touchdown and the other one, like, crosses his arms around like it's either going to be a touchback or interception or whatever. But at least you could have some type of dispute and review it. But the problem is they actually reviewed that play and they upheld it, which I don't know why they upheld it. But
and
they
the people who reviewed it are not NFL, they're not referees.
Yeah, those
NFL
are
officials.
Actual NFL officials. Those are not replacements.
That can't
I know.
Be blamed on replacement refs.
I know, and that's the thing about it. But it's a whole cover about the National Football League because, like they said, the day after, what did the NFL pretty much release? They said, look, even though, Golden Tate pushed off, we have to uphold the decision. Of course they have to uphold the decision because if they switched on them, then they would devalue those replacement refs that are there on the field. And they're trying to protect themselves from looking like jokes, which they
Why didn't the NFL officials in the booth reverse the call then?
That's the thing that's being covered up because they said a whole bunch of stuff about the actual play, about the actual rule about simultaneous catches and all types of other stuff. So nobody knows why they didn't overturn it.
Because
they're actually saying,
everybody says it is.
Everybody's saying it's a simultaneous catch up in the NFL, but we all know it wasn't. But the thing about it is, they have to uphold what they have as far as their status with those replacement refs. So they can't just reverse it on those replacement refs or something like that. Then they will validate that, you know, the official, like the actual refs, would have a leg up on them. They're trying to protect their butts, basically.
I look at it like I said, okay, a catch is, to complete a catch, you have to come down with the ball, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
And I know that Golden Tate did not catch that ball.
Okay, let's not get off the subject. To complete a catch, you have to come down with the ball, right?
That's right.
Correct.
And that's what MD Jenny said.
Who came down,
first?
Who came down first? Golden Tate.
MD Jennings had possession of the ball, though. Tate never had clear possession of
first?
The ball. And on the ground.
We're getting off the subject. Who came down first? Golden Tate,
right? Yeah, Tate did, but didn't have the ball. Didn't have the ball.
What does he have to do to have the ball? He has to have both hands on the ball. Once he hits the ground, he has to have both hands on the ball.
Okay, and I'm looking at it. So everybody's looking at this right now. You can tell me that he didn't have both hands on the ball? Everybody's looking at it right now,
I don't know
because
I ain't looking at it right now.
Okay, I'm looking at it right now, and I'm saying you can't tell. I'm saying this, and I'm not even going to say he did have his hands on the ball. I'm saying you can't show me he did have his hands on the ball.
Oh, so you're going on the indisputable evidence type thing right there, right?
That's the basis of a review.
Okay, let me ask you something, Mike.
Anything else? We have to go on
Mike.
Evidence.
Okay, Mike, if you stand in two to 3 feet in front of me, right? You got the football. You have it basically cradled to your chest. But I'm reaching out. I got two hands on it. Who got possession of the ball?
I'm standing or I'm in the air?
It doesn't matter. Who got two hands on the ball?
Because
if I reach out and put my hands on the ball, I got possession of it? Or is it clear that you have it?
If I'm standing, if I'm grounded, I have possession of the ball. If I'm in the air, nobody has possession of the ball.
But MD Jennings was on the ground with the ball cradled. I'm sticking my arms out 2 feet from you, and I'm trying to, you know, put my hands on the ball.
Well, he wasn't. I'm looking at the play right now. They both were in the air. MD Jennings had the ball first in the air. I'm not gonna deny that.
All right, we gotta wrap this.
Golden Tate had the ball.
It was a horrible call. This is my opinion. Horrible call.
All right.
And like I said, this is why they at the bargaining table right now dealing with this.
Yep, because the crowd, the fans really want new referees. But
let me tell you something real quick, Lazo.
It didn't matter.
These fans don't care about these referees, man. Everybody can say that, but before these replacement refs came, let me tell you this. One of the main reasons that the referees the strike or whatever this lockout is going on in the first place is because the NFL wanted to require them to have full-time referees because the fans were getting sick and tired of the refs blowing calls in the first place. Everybody knows that, right?
Okay. Right.
So now these refs are so good. Now they're the best refs in the world. But before, and that was one of the sticking points of this whole talk because they want to have them be full-time refs because they were blowing so many calls before. Now all of a sudden they're the greatest refs in the world, right? Because they blew a couple of calls.
Well, they might not necessarily be the greatest refs in the world, but they're better than the ones we got right now. But I think
we're getting replaced. They want to replace them with full-time refs.
But my thing is, it wouldn't have mattered if they had the full-time refs now or the official refs because I think it would have been the same situation, my personal opinion. But I want to go to the next thing.
The call is going to be controversial no matter what.
But I want to switch subjects here. Real quick, Shatown, stay with you. I want to switch steps real quick. I'm going to keep you online, James, real quick.
All right.
What did you say, Shatown?
That's the one I'm looking at.
What did you say, Mike?
All right, well, anyway, I got to change subjects here. I want to go to the other controversial call, the field goal at the end of the New England-Baltimore game. What's your outlook on that? Was it a good or was it not good? James, we'll start with you.
From the closest angle that they were showing, they were saying that it's good. The thing that really gets it is that the way that the ball was directing, it was like directing inside going outside. So if it was pretty much like that, then 9 times out of 10, they're going to call that good instead of no good. It would have to be like really on the opposite side, clearly, of that goalpost for him to call it no good.
Okay, but these horrible refs called it right, though, right? because they're that bad, but they called that play right?
I mean, I'm not saying that they're horrible. I mean, they were able to get that right.
No, everybody is. They're horrible. They're getting replacement refs. I'm saying that they're not that good, but I'm saying that they got that call right, though, right? The one call they got right, the next call they made the worst in NFL history.
I mean, they're able to get that call right, but it's not like somebody said before, it's not like the actual refs have gotten calls wrong. I mean, we remember that time when Calvin Johnson caught that supposed touchdown pass, and then they pretty much called it incomplete. So it's not like, you know, the actual refs are, you know, free of mistakes or whatnot. It's just that you pretty much can't have that many errors in one game.
It's not even that. It's just that situation. I'm telling you, if this was a different situation, we wouldn't even be talking about this. Like I said, nobody's talking about the call that they made, right? Where Bill Belichick went and put his hands on the referee because he's trying to get away from his crazy butt. You know, nobody's talking about it. Everybody's
talking about the call that they made wrong. We'll get to that in a second.
What field are you talking about? You talking about the Titans and Lions game?
No, we're talking about the Baltimore New England Sunday night. Controversial. It was reported it was no good, but the way the kick looked, it could have been potentially good, and the Patriots could have won that game. But it was a deciding factor.
Oh,
but
I didn't see the play. I heard it on the radio.
It was controversial. But what I want to go into is then, since I don't know what the view of this is, the general view, but what happened after the game when Bill Belichick grabbed the referee, and it's reported that he was fined $50,000 for doing that. Do you think that was too lean, or do you think that's just right for the situation at hand? Tex, what do you think?
I don't know, man.
I think it was. I mean, it could have been a whole lot worse. I think 50 G's was pretty much okay.
I mean, do you think, you know, that you're right about that?
Maybe there's more, but 50 is pretty much fair.
That was a lenient penalty just because that was Bill Belichick.
Huh?
I said that was a lenient penalty just because that was Bill Belichick. If a player would have done that to a referee, he'd be missing games right now. Maybe the season.
Yes, he would.
Oh, I don't even need to worry about that. Once again, it's Bill Belichick and the Patriots getting away with shenanigans again.
Yep, I think. Seriously. You think you should have got two games?
Easy. Imagine if that were Albert Ainsworth grabbing an NFL official. You know, or somebody like that. The league don't like. Could you imagine? Seriously.
Yeah.
Okay.
About 30-something penalties against them boys in that one.
That doesn't say he can grab anybody. If that were a player, they might have tried to bring him up on charges.
All right, hey, James, what's your opinion on it?
I'm trying to ban him up from the league.
James, you still there?
Gabby?
Yeah, I can hear you. Are you there?
Yeah. Yeah, I say the fine is about right, especially compared to, you know, the fines that the other coaches got. Highest one was about 30 grand. I mean, they pretty much, like, laced them with profanities and all types of stuff all through that game between Atlanta and Denver. So, I mean, just getting in contact with that referee, that should be about 50 grand. I don't think suspension is necessary, even though I kind of see the point that they're not going to suspend Bill Belichick. I mean, you know, a game or two, whatever. It's the New England Patriots. I mean, look, they got the easiest schedule in the league. They ain't going to do anything bad to them boys.
All right. Well, this is interesting. Hopefully the league and the referees can get that situation solved so we won't have situations that happened this past weekend. Let's go into further things that happened in the league. Darrell Revis has injured his ACL and is gone for the season. So my question is, and they kind of look kind of shaky against the Dolphins this past Sunday, and a lot of people are saying, you know, they're kind of done without Darrell Revis. Do you think there's pretty much like no chance of them making the playoffs, even though I think they're 2-1 now? I'm gonna start with you, Tex. What you think?
The Jets, even without Revis, they're still pretty good. I don't know how they'll be on the corners. Rex Ryan is talking about he's going to be more aggressive with his packages. We'll just have to see because, I mean, predicated on confusion anyway. I'm thinking that they might try to do some things to try to get quarterback on the ground, but, you know, that's not their thing. They like to create confusion. They like coverage sacks. So we'll just have to see what they'll do. But they'll still be pretty good defensively, but definitely not having Revis hurts. Jets like to do a lot of single high and go man across, put pressure on wide receivers to break away and try to separate. Definitely hurts them without having Revis. It's going to be a lot of cover two, a lot of two man under. They won't be able to do the same things that they'll be able to do with their front seven and create confusion. Basically, what I'm saying is they have to lie before the snap. Now they can't tell the truth because you know before with Revis out there, you know they're going man. You know they'll have they'll mix a little cover three in a little too deep, but you know they're going man. But now they have to lie before the snap on defense to be effective as to where they used to could just, you know, they could just line up and just run the defense.
All right. Cali, Mike, what you got to say? Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you?
Oh, okay. I don't know, man. I think – Revis wasn't he in the middle of contract negotiations, too?
Yeah, he was in contract negotiations.
He sure was.
I mean, I think the way they finish this season is going to, you know, depend a lot on if they even try to bring him back or not.
Well, I mean, you're probably going to, I mean, we'll see. I mean, we're telling, I'm pretty sure they could still bring him back, but it's just, he may not be able to get his big payday. You know, he's still under contract, but he wanted a bigger payday, you know, because he output played his contract. So he for the first 2 years of his contract. So now, you know, it's the lower end of his contract, but he's still one of the best players in the league, so he still should be paid like he was these past 2 years. So I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I don't think
he I know he's under contract, but I'm saying it's like do you really try to bring back a guy at his age coming off of ACL here? I mean, he's not a spring chicken.
I mean, he's young. He's only like in the fifth year in the league, I think, maybe.
Bro, Revis.
I mean, I'm pretty. Yeah, he's not old.
Revis is probably about maybe, I think, maybe 25, 26.
Yeah, he's
not
old
at that age.
Yeah, he's young, man.
He can't be, man, because this is his third contract.
His second contract.
Yeah, he had a rookie contract, and then they kind of reworked the deal, and
Yeah,
yeah,
and that was last
year.
That's what I'm saying. This is his third one coming up.
Yeah.
So he can't be 24. He was the first
one. No, he's in the middle.
He's about 25, 26.
Yo, he's in the middle of the second deal. He's not on a third contract right now. He wants to renegotiate the second deal.
He wants a new deal.
Yeah,
he wants to renegotiate.
I'm saying it's going to be he's out the rest of this year. So, I mean, I'm just looking at it. From a point of view of the team, I mean, where do you go with this guy? I mean, he's going to still
want
to, he's still going to want to get re-signed.
I see where Mike is going with it, though, because, I mean, you know, we all know it's going to take a whole year since, you know, with that injury. I mean, the only good thing about it, I mean, it did happen, you know, in September, so he still got maybe some time, maybe around time of training camp, maybe he'll be back, you know, to almost being 100%. But when it comes to the bad time of him, he's talking about a guy who wants a new contract. You know, that's the worst injury to have.
Has he already had his surgery?
We can't say it's the end yet because I heard he's going to seek a second opinion.
Oh,
that's what they were saying. They were saying that yesterday.
Oh, I want to get with James.
Well, James, what you got? What's your opinion on that?
Well, in reference to the overall status of the Jets, it's going to be a wait-and-see approach. It was like mentioned before, it's not like they're going to pretty much lie on their, you know, defensive stance before the snap, you know, pretty much tell the truth. I mean, I've seen, like, a report recently that they were going to try anybody there to replace Jeeves at cornerback, even Joe McKnight. So I don't know how that's going to work out in the short term, but they're really going to have to mix up their not only their coverages but their blitzing schemes in order to keep the opposing offense on their toes. So, and in reference to, like, his contract here, just depends on how long he's going to be out. I think the Jets know the worth of Darrelle Revis, and they know what his market value is going to be comparison to the rest of the league. So it's not like they're going to not pay him. See what I mean?
I mean, I don't I'm not so sure. I mean, I'm looking at it. He's 27, which means he's going to be 28 when he gets back. What kind of contract do you give a 28-year-old on a team that might not be, you know, like I say, it depends. To me, also, it depends on what the success of this team is going to be or not, too. You know, it depends on if they fall off completely or, you know, maybe they might show they need him, you know, more than, and if he shows they need him, he might, you know, get his money. But what do you pay a 28-year-old coming off of ACL?
Good point. I was going to say, also, too, you know, I mean, you had...
And you've got, especially a team like this, that's going to have other glaring holes, too.
The next question, you were hearing some little rumble about Rex Ryan said the Jets don't make the playoffs. Maybe they go another direction, which I think, you know, Rex, if it was me, I think he should be back regardless of what happens next year. But then also, you know, what about, you know, had a good point on that. We were saying about the Jets, you think the Jets are going to make the playoffs. I mean, I don't even have the Jets making the playoffs, even with Darrelle Revis there. I'm not really, I mean, their defense is okay. I think, like, I know we was talking about this. I know me and Jamal was going at it this about, I guess, the Ravens and Jets defense. I think the Jets defense is basically a system. I don't really think they have that type of pass rusher, you know, that Lawrence Taylor, Julius Peppers type of guy that constantly gets those sacks. I don't really think they have that type of player on their defensive line. I think it's more predicated to Rex Ryan's system.
They have Muhammad Wilkerson and they have Quentin Coples, Mike. Them two pretty good by themselves. Those two can get pressure by themselves. I've seen it just do it this year.
So you think that pass rush with those two guys is better than what Rex Ryan's had so far with the Jets?
Well, do what?
No, I'm saying the two guys, Coples and Wilkerson, you think those are the two best guys Ryan's had since he's been the head coach of the Jets of having a pass rush?
Their scheme is just based on confusion, man. They don't get a whole lot of sacks, but they confuse you. When they do sack the quarterback, it's a free rusher or it's a coverage sack. You know what I'm saying? It's not, you know, it's not like a Dallas 3-4 or a Pittsburgh 3-4. It's different 3-4s.
Well,
I see what
they're
saying. This ain't the old New York Sack Exchange, basically.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. Real quick, I want to switch this up because we got really little time left. We got like 5 minutes left before we get into our, really 4 minutes until we get into our 2 minute sessions. I want to ask you a question. Real quick question. Who's the surprising team in the league and who's the most disappointing team in the league so far? I want to start with Shottown. What you got to say?
Well, I'm going to give them they do. I mean, right now, I mean, like I said, it's still more football. I would just say, the most surprised team of the week, I'll probably give that to the Minnesota Vikings because we all had San Francisco so far being the best team, you know, right now in the NFC and how Minnesota came and just beat them. I think Minnesota Vikings, I didn't think they were going to beat San Francisco, so I'd say they're my, you know, surprised team of the week. Most disappointed team, I probably, of course, going
to be the league. You said the Saints?
Okay. I had the New Orleans Saints. And also, I put the Flash, the Philadelphia Eagles, because they lost to the Arizona Cardinals and finally caught up with them. Philadelphia, I don't know what's going on with it. But, you know, I don't know if y'all heard Andy Reid, I guess, was saying, it was media was asking about what about the Michael Vick, you know, hasn't been playing well. Well, we decided maybe going with a quarterback change. And later on, I guess the next day, had Michael Vick's our quarterback, but he hasn't been playing well. He got, I think he's raced from his quarterback and is not one for his quarterback ratings right now. But I don't know. Everybody was saying the Philadelphia Eagles, they're supposed to go all the way, Super Bowl contender. I mean, I think they're a contender, but they now they playing like pretenders.
All right. Callie, what you have to say?
About the Eagles, I just want to make a comment on them real quick. You can't put this all on Vic, man. You can't. It's hard to play quarterback when you're on your back, man. And the thing, like I said, seems like Vic always ends up getting in these type of situations on teams, whether it be here or back in Atlanta. And, you know, everybody wants to talk about how bad he is. You know, but like I said, it's hard to play quarterback on your back. Most surprising team, the Seahawks, man. This team has come out, you know, it came out arrows loaded, you know, firing, man. They got, you know, a very fast, very aggressive defense, you know, a Pete Carroll kind of defense. You know, they're fast on the end. They got very aggressive cornerbacks, very physical team. Russell Wilson's playing, you know, he's playing, he's not showing that he's going to be, a, you know, an elite quarterback maybe, but he's showing that he has the leadership capabilities to do it, you know, to do what needs to be done for this kind of team. And I, like I said, I'm really surprised with them. They got Marshawn Lynch. He's a beast. So they're, I don't know a lot about their blocking. Their blocking really hasn't been up to snuff, really, to, like I said, really unleashed Lynch like I think they need to. But both surprising team, I would have to go with New Orleans. Like I said, I didn't expect it to be like this. You know, I knew that they were going to have problems, but, you know, I don't know. They look kind of bad.
All right, Tex.
Most surprising team is Arizona, without a doubt. I mean, by far. Not really surprised by the level of play that their defense has played at thus far. I mean, you look around, they got studs everywhere. Pat Peterson, Donald Washington. Peterson might be the best cornerback in the NFL by the end of this year. So not surprised by their defense, but just with all the offensive line problems that they showed in the preseason, the quarterback situation was obviously a mess. It's surprising that they're 4-0, and Cole is not being a manager. I mean, he's throwing the rock, making the throws, making the plays. You know, he's tearing it up a little bit. So they're my surprise in the NFL so far, 3-0 and running. Disappointment, New Orleans. I understand the situation. I understand that they don't have a coach. But still, you got your offensive coordinator who's been together with Drew Brees for 11 years. The offense definitely should be playing better, although they're not the singular problem. The defense is, I think they just, I don't know if they're, you know, if they have much talent on defense. They can't stop anybody. On offense, they're not as balanced as they have been in the past. Everybody thinks they're a passing team. New Orleans is a very balanced football team. They pass well and they run really well. But I'm surprised by New Orleans. I still think they'll turn it around. I still think they win the NFC South. I still think they make the playoffs, even though they have to go to Green Bay this weekend. I still think this team gets to the postseason. But definitely New Orleans, my disappointment thus far.
All right.
You think New Orleans will beat Green Bay, Tex?
We'll talk about that another time.
All right, okay. James, what you got to say?
They'd be in the hole going forward if they lose to Green Bay.
All right, let's see what James has to say.
All right, I'm going to go real quick. Surprise scene for the NFL right now is obviously the Arizona Cardinals. Good defense, but we didn't expect what they were going to do as far as, like, their offense. And, like, Kevin Cobb and Larry Fitzgerald and the other weapons they have there. And as far as, like, disappointment right now, I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers. No consistent running game, and their defense is like lower points left and right, not just to the Baltimore Ravens, but the Oakland Raiders. You wouldn't expect that them to have the Oakland Raiders score 30-plus points on them. So I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay. All right. Well, like mine is surprise team Arizona. Disappointing is New Orleans Saints. All right, we got to stop here and we got to go to. I'm gonna have to put you on hold for good. Okay, James.
All right, I'm out.
Yeah. And we're going to have to do our we don't have that much time for each person, so we're going to have to do, like, 1 minute and a few seconds here, okay, for our no interruption, say your piece. I'm going to start with you, Mike. Shout out, Mike, what you got to say? 1 minute and 15 seconds.
I'll say, thankfully, yes, I seen the play. That's what I was trying to say, Mike, on YouTube, what the worst call play on Monday Night Football with Tex and Fox. That was an interception. Green Bay should have won that game. I know, sorry to say it, I'm a diehard Bear fan, but with fair is fair, Green Bay got robbed. And I was just saying it again. I saw the replay of it where it was interception. So that was an interception. And also, I saw a report, USC 2014, they said it's better than the 2001 Miami team. So we're going to have to talk about that next week.
All right. Cali Mike.
Like I said, I just find it interesting how many people want to get the regular referees back and are in favor of the referees over the NFL when the players were in the very same situation a couple of months ago and everybody was on the NFL side against the players who played the game. I find that mind-boggling, but, you know, when it's the refs who make $190,000 for being part-time referees, everybody's on the NFL side because they want to see a good game. But when it comes to the players getting anybody, you know, everybody, oh, these are spoiled brats. And these, all they do is play football. You know, it's just, I find that very interesting. Another thing I've been noticing, a troubling trend, it is troubling to me because we hold tackles in the NFL at a premium, but it seems like a lot of teams, you know, they back up and they prepare for every situation but linemen. And I've been looking at it, and it seems like it's been a downfall a lot of these teams. I was looking at Seattle, really, after, you know, they were the same team, you know, after they went to the Super Bowl, you know, but when Walter Jones left, they were never the same team again. It's like that team fell apart. And I can look at Indianapolis and look at Green Bay and see, you know, similar things. It's like, you know, we back up on our quarterback, we back up on our running backs, but for some reason we don't back up on our linemen. And, you know, and they're such, you know, it's our offensive linemen, they're such a premium in the NFL. And basically that's, you know, my rant for right now. See you guys again next week.
All right, Tex, what you got to say?
Yeah, just to follow up with Mike, O-line play in the NFL is way down. I mean, just league-wide, it's horrible. It is horrible. These guys are not being coached at the college level. I mean, everybody's running spread. So, you know, chop three steps and just block. You know, no technique, no fundamentals. It's nice to see Russell Wilson wins the game by throwing a game-winning interception, but that's all right. I still think LSU is the number one team in the nation. I think USC is the top five team in the NCAA right now. Notre Dame does not belong in the top 10, period. So that's all I got.
Well, my thing is I think Alabama is the number one team in the nation. I think LSU is just something not right with them this year. I don't think they're going to make it undefeated. They're probably going to lose two games in the throughout that tough SEC schedule. The way Alabama's playing right now, I think they're the closest thing to the 2001 Miami Hurricanes. And I think the call with the NFL situation. It didn't matter what would the case. If it didn't matter, it could have been the regular referees or the replacement referees. It would have still been the same call. I do think, Cali Mike did make an interesting point. Everybody want to rush to get the referees back, but all of a sudden the players are spoiled brats or something like that. I think that was an interesting thing. I think the Jets aren't going to make the playoffs unless, you know, some sort of sporadic change happens. If that's Tim Tebow, then we'll see what happens. But, you know, I'm looking forward. Just interested to see what happens next week, college football, Florida against LSU, Georgia against South Carolina. I think there's going to be a lot of good things happening next week, a good show next week. And, you know, hey, we're all ready to listen to it. That's all I have to say.
So we're going to end the show now, CMT Firestorm. If you got any questions, any comments, any criticisms, anything, you know, email us, link us a give us a message on our Facebook page, CMT Firestorm. We want to hear from you. We want to hear you call. We're here every week, every Wednesday, 8:30 p.m. Block Talk Radio, CMT Firestorm. This is Klaus Mathis on behalf of Tex, Cali Mike, Chi-Town Mike. We're going to say goodbye. Peace out.
Peace.
Later.
Hey,
yeah,
Cali Mike, you forgot about Steve Hutchison, man. Steve Hutchison. Seattle offensive line wouldn't sing without Steve Hutchison after the Super Bowl, too.
That's true.
It was being cheap, man. Remember the GM, he forgot to sign.
Trippy and Gino Marquette. If you're searching for a champion, they're your best bet. Which I could quarterback like Donnie Lou Jack or even Sid Luckman, as a matter of fact. Do you remember Red Brains, the Galloping Ghost? He could do a 95 running coast to coast. You had Norm Van Brocklin, a real great player, so swift with his moves that he could be mayor. Why ain't Tittle Allie Madison? Hey, I remember all those guys from back in the day.
It's the sport of game, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows. Weekend warriors toe to toe. Football, 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 football.